For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. This is the passage that we have chosen this season. And we've already looked at the first two of the titles given to Jesus. Wonderful Counselor speaks of his omniscience. He knows all things, speaks of his wisdom and his ability not only to be a wonderful counselor that cares for us and knows our needs. He knows exactly what you need, but he is the Almighty God who can change and meet the needs of our lives. The second title was Mighty God. It speaks of his omnipotence, the power that he is able to do all things. But most importantly for you and I, he is able to forgive our sins and to give us new life. He is the Almighty God. As a omnipotent God, we are to worship him. As an omniscient God, all-wise God, we are to seek him. And the third title sometimes sounds a little bit strange because we believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as the Trinity. But Jesus is the Son. So why would he be called the Everlasting Father? The emphasis here is not that he takes the place of the Godhead. There are those that confuse that in their minds. But the emphasis is the omnipresence of our Christ. Not to be confused with God the Father, but to emphasize that the Lord is ever present and ever loving. It is a relationship that we are talking about. A relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. It is, first of all, a permanent relationship. The word everlasting actually means that which never ends. It is not, there's no general word for time in the Hebrew language. There's no special terms for past and present and future. But this word used almost exclusively with the acts of God, there's only a few times that it does not, means no time limit. No time limit. He is the unlimited. And we've read already in Isaiah 9:7, it says, of his peace, it will never end. And of his government will last for all eternity. When we read about the characteristics of Christ, this word is the beautiful picture that we receive. When we read about his love in Jeremiah 31:31, it says it is an everlasting love. He loves us with an everlasting love. Ezekiel 37 says that we are connected with him. We are bound together with him with an everlasting covenant. When we talk about contracts between men and on the earth, there's always a time limit. You know, we have these things that go a long time. I think that when I first came to Germany, I was intrigued that you could lease a castle in Germany, but you could only lease it for 99 years. Now, I don't know whether that's changed or not. I thought, well, that would cover most of my life, I think. But there was always a time limit involved in such a thing. I didn't lease any, by the way, just in case you're wondering. It was the upkeep. It was just too much. With man, there's always a limit. We are limited. We are bound by time. We are born and we will die. But with God, there is no limit. And that's beyond our comprehension. There is no beginning and there is no end. God is God eternally. Jesus says, whosoever believes in me, in John chapter 6, has everlasting life. It means that in Christ, we have a beginning, but there's no end. There's no end.
We will live eternally with him.
In fact, all mankind, the Bible teaches, will live eternally, either with Christ or separated from him. When Jesus was upon this earth, he made it very clear that he was one with God, the eternal God. In John 8:58, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Now, that is not good English, but it is perfect truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus proclaimed that he was the great I am. This is how God introduced himself in the Old Testament. And Jesus being one with the Father. Did they understand it? Absolutely. They tried to kill him because of such a statement. In Colossians 1:17, it says of Christ that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is before all things. It was through the Spirit and through Christ that creation came into being. When God was creating the world and he came down to the crowning part of his creation, that's you and me, okay? He said, "Let us make God in our image." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was there. Now, we do not worship three gods as some claim that we do. We worship one God, but a triune person in that one God. It is beyond our comprehension, but it is true. It is the oneness. In Hebrews 13:8, Christ, it says that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And forever. So it is a permanent relationship that he desires to have with us. Secondly, it is a parental relationship. He is the everlasting Father. Now, this word in the Old Testament is used not just for biological fathers. It is used for a source or a decider or a protector. It was a term used for fathers, for grandfathers, but also for prophets and priests. It is said in the Old Testament that David was the father of the nation. Abraham is the father of the faithful. Americans think George Washington is the father of our nation. I don't know who Germans claim is the father. It's the fatherland, isn't it? I should know that. In Isaiah 53:10, it says, Christ will have many descendants. He is a father. And not so much in the title, but in the very actions. What makes a father? Is it just that he has a child? No. A father is one who does give life. In John 1:3, it says all things were made through Christ. In John 5:24, it says we have crossed over from death unto life. He is the giver of life. But he does more than that. Christ teaches us. He said that we should come to him and we should take his yoke upon us and learn from him. Learn from him. He provides for us. In Philippians 4:19, it says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." The glorious riches of God are found in Christ, and he provides for us. He gives us protection. Let me read from John 17, the great priestly prayer of Christ. He says, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. Not one has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that the scripture would be fulfilled." This was part of the prayer of Christ. I have protected them in this world. And now he's praying, "Father, you continue to protect them." He watches over us as a father watches over his own children. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you glad that we have a Father who protects us, who watches over us?
We don't have to worry. Little children are happy. Little children are carefree. Why? Because they have someone that watches over them. It is they don't need to worry and to be upset about things. Someone is watching over them. And you and I need to learn that lesson, that we have a Father that cares for us and watches over us. We don't need to worry. He loves us. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. But Jesus so loved the world that He gave His life. He was willing to go to the cross for your sins and for mine. I love the passage in Mark, and I love the fact that we have lots of little children. And it's going to get louder in here, folks, because more little children are going to be born. And that is a wonderful sound, because that's the sound of life. If you go to a church and there are no little children, there is no life. Life, you know, we love to have children here. So you moms, if your kids sound like a 2-year-old or a 1-year-old, thank God. That's what they're supposed to do, you know. We don't expect children to act like old people, all right? In Mark chapter 10, a passage that's so familiar. In fact, I think we've already heard it a couple times in the last month, but I want to read it again. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so that He could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering Him. And when Jesus saw this happen, He was angry with His disciples. He was angry with His disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to Me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter in." Then He took the children in His arms and He placed His hands on their heads and He blessed them. He is looking for childlike qualities in you and I. If we are to enter into kingdom, not childish, Not selfish, but childlike, simple trust. That's what children have, a simple trust. They believe what they are told. They have a teachable faith. They have a humble obedience. I sometimes tell people God loves fat people, okay? Faithful, available, and teachable, okay? I mean, I think He loves fat people that are fat, too, but that's just a personal opinion, you know. He is looking for people who have a simple trust in Him, a teachable faith, and a humble obedience. So our relationship with Christ is a permanent relationship. It's a parental relationship. And most importantly, as is emphasized in this title, it is an ever-present relationship. Ever present. Christ wants to be present in our lives at all times. In John chapter 1, it says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own people, but His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of man, of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those who received Him, those who allow Him to be a part of their life, He gives them the power to become children of God. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." He desires to be with us. He wasn't a God who visited earth and then went away and has nothing else to do with us. He is a Christ who wants to be in our lives daily. In Matthew 28, when He was getting ready to leave the earth in a bodily form, He said this, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always." I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. John 14:23, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. We will pitch our tents on his ground. We will be there present for him. I don't know about your life. I don't know the things that you face. But I know that the world around us is swirling, and it seems to be out of control. It really does. And I don't know what you desire, but I know what God desires. He desires for you to have a relationship with him. He desires for you to know. To know, according to 1 John 5, we can know. It's not a questionable, I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven, I'm not sure if God's my Father. No, the Bible says we can know. If we confess our sins, we can know that he forgives our sins. If we walk in his light, we know that he continues to guide our lives. Do you need something permanent in your life? I think we do. I think we do. The world has no permanence. It is going to pass away. Only Christ and God's grace is permanent. Probably more importantly than that, though, is do you need a father? Do you need someone who cares for you with an everlasting love? Do you need a father who would wrap his arms around you when you weep? A father who would encourage you when you're discouraged? A father who would point you in the right direction when you're kind of lost? I don't know about you, but I need a father like that. I had a wonderful earthly father, and I thank God for him. But he's no longer here. But my heavenly Father is here every day. And I can turn to him when I need him. We haven't had any snow this year. I'm kind of missing it. I know it comes later. But one of the things I love to watch is, have you ever watched a father and a little child in snow? You know, the father takes his big steps and walks through the snow, and it leaves impressions in the snow. And if you watch, a smart little kid will jump from one of those steps to the next, following in his footsteps. And I think, I like to think of our walk with God just that way. He leads and he makes a place for us. And we jump to the next one and we follow on after him until he leads us home, totally home. Children love to imitate their parents. And in Ephesians 5:1-2, it says this, follow God's examples. I think in the King James it says, imitate God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He is the everlasting Father. He is ever present. He's here. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He's here tonight. If you do not know the warmth of that Father's love, he's reaching out to you tonight. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? Probably the favorite parable in all of the Bible. The father had two sons, one son said, give me my inheritance now. I want to go. And he went to a far country, and there he wasted all that God gave to him. And that's kind of a picture of humanity, isn't it? God gives us so much, and we waste so much of it. And it says, finally, he came to his senses. I like that part. He came to his senses, and he said, in my father's house, there's plenty, and here I am starving. Here I am with no one to care for me. In fact, he was feeding pigs and no one would even give him pig food to eat. And he said, I will go to my father and I will say, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Will you take me as a servant? And you know the beautiful part of the story, that when he was way off in the distance coming, it says the father saw him and ran to him. Something that an older man would not do. He had to gather up his robe and ran to his son and threw his arms around him and embraced him and brought him in. That's what God wants to do with you. That's what God is looking to do in your life. Are you willing to allow him to embrace you? He is the everlasting Father. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that there were people in our lives that pointed us to you. And there was a time that we confess our sin and ask you to forgive us. And we ask you to be the Lord of our life. And Lord, I thank you that most of the people here tonight have already made that decision and made that step, accepting the everlasting Father as the Father of their lives. And some are still on the journey. And I pray, Father, that as you watch for them, that you would receive them and welcome them into your family as you have each of us. For you are our God, and you are our everlasting Father. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.